I am reading for you a scripture text from Isaiah. For I am the mighty God, and there is none else. The adorable, and there is none like me, declaring from the beginning the latter end, and from olden time that which has never been done, saying, my purpose shall stand, and I will perform all my pleasure, calling from the east a bird of prey, from a far country the man of my counsel. Yea, I have spoken, I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed, I will also do it. Dear friends and fellow believers in Christ, we are greeting you again in the love, grace, and peace of our great God and Father and His beloved Son, Christ Jesus, our blessed Savior and Lord, our life and our head. How blessed we are that our gracious loving Father has preserved and sustained us by His great power through all the days of our years, and privileged us to assemble together on this day for a meeting and greeting each other again at the beginning of a new year, for attuning our hearts in spiritual song and worshipful study and meditation in the Word of Truth for our mutual refreshment, edification, and encouragement. Therefore, in the midst of the increasing, distressing strain of the detractions and distractions of world conflict, antagonism, and clashing disagreements in the ideologies of world powers for ruling and governing the nations of the world today, I am convinced that the most urgent need that can be pressed upon believers is the faithful, persistent, and steadfast pursuance of Paul's admonition in Timothy to go on exercising, training ourselves in devoutness, reading, searching, meditating in the Scriptures with heart prayers, praise, and thanksgiving, thus providing spiritual assurance for the present life and for that which is to come. Therefore, as most of you know, this marks our 30th year of ministry of the Word of Truth in Lakewood. Looking back over the records of the years of ministry among you, I was happy to note that my heart's purpose and endeavor has been devoted to helping you on the way to maturity in Christ, with a view to heart assurance of faith in all the Word and will of God our Father. 1961 completed 50 years of my life devoted to the ministry of song and sermon for the glory of God and the blessing of truth seekers, believing the sacred scriptures to be the only true source of divine life and love. Very early in my study and ministry, I resolved, by the grace of God, to devote my life to a constructive, edifying, teaching ministry of the word of truth. I soon learned and counted the cost that this kind of ministry would not be popular, and that I would minister to the few rather than the many. Nevertheless, I chose by the grace of God to teach His word in its purity and fullness of expression, in all love and grace, without fear and favor, being confidently assured in my heart that it was a service well pleasing to God. I have dared to be technical, tedious, and tiresome for the sake of sharing the pure light of truth from God's holy word with those who are genuinely concerned to seek out heart understanding and the assurance of faith in His great purpose, love, and grace in Christ Jesus our Lord. Consequently, the series of messages I have prepared for this season with you will be with a view to sharing the teaching of God's word on vital topics, subject and prophetic explanations, which I feel are importantly needed for revealing that maturing knowledge, realization, and spiritual understanding in God's word and will of His purpose and intention in the general disorder and chaos, calamity, injustice, and the indescribable suffering, distresses, and travailing among the peoples, nations, and governments of the world today, and the divine predictions of far worse to come. These are not beautiful things. They are not easily received. Therefore, to prepare our hearts for the unpleasant revelation of things to come, I am bringing three messages for assuring our hearts, grounding our faith, and preserving our peace. My subject today is the greatness of God. My subject next Sunday will be the goodness of God. And on January the 24th, the faithfulness of God. These are fundamentally important to my faith, to your faith, to the faith of every believer today. To know first of all that God is great, that He is omnipotent. To know, secondly, that God is good. And to know, thirdly, that our God is faithful. Accordingly, then, my message today is for refreshing and enriching and assuring your faith in the greatness of God, our Father. Long ago, the psalmist David wrote and sang, "For Thou art great, and doest wonderful things. Thou art God alone." Psalm 86:10. Again he sang, "Thy way, O God, is in holiness. Who is a great God like unto God? Thou art the God that doeth wonders. Thou hast made known thy strength among the people." Psalm 77:13-14. Again, great is Jehovah, and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. Psalm 145:3. Beloved friends, I think it is good for me and for you to meditate upon these wonderful scriptures. We need them today. We're going to need them tomorrow. And people are going to need to recognize this when the very foundations under which they stand will be shaken out from under their feet on things to come. Again, we read, "For I am the Mighty One, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring from the beginning the letter end." and from olden time that which had never been done, saying, my purpose shall stand, and I will, all my pleasure will I perform. Calling from the east a bird of prey, from a far country a man of my counsel or purpose, yea, I have spoken, I will also bring it to pass. I have purpose, I will also do it. Isaiah 46, 9 to 11. These texts and many others combine in the united testimony of the greatness of God, his greatness in creation, his greatness in operation, and his greatness in consummation. God has a purpose. He's going to perform that purpose. He is going to attain and accomplish that purpose. So we find first God's greatness in creation. Let's look at it quickly here. Isaiah 45:18 reads the following declaration on creation. For thus saith Jehovah who created the heavens, God himself who fashioned the earth and made it, himself established it, not a waste created he it, to be dwelt in. He fashioned it. I am Jehovah, and there is none else. Concerning the creation of God, of which Isaiah gives a brief account here, the Psalm of David again, Psalm 119, verses 1 to 6. The heavens are rehearsing the glory of God. The atmosphere is telling what his hands have made. Day to day is uttering a saying. Night to night is disclosing knowledge. There is no saying. There is no speaking. Naught is heard of their voice. Yet their voice comes forth into all the earth. And in the end of the habitable earth, their declaration. He places a tent in the heavens for the sun, and he, the sun, is as a bridegroom coming forth from his canopy. He is elated as a master to run the path. From the end of the heavens is his going forth, and his revolution unto their end. And there is nothing concealed from its warmth. In accord with all this, we find Paul, by inspiration, declaring that all is out of God. All is out of God. These things didn't happen by chance. They didn't happen by some unknown circumstance. We have the revelation that all is out of God, thus confirming him to be the origin, the source of all things. The universe sprang out of God. It's good for me to know and to be settled in my faith and you that our God created the heavens and the earth and all that is in them. They didn't come here by chance. They're not here just to be speculated with and to send missiles around in. But, beloved friends, it's good to know and be assured as you see things developing in the world around you to know God created all of this. He had a purpose in it all. In the second place, Paul declares that all is through God. Death revealing for our hearts and faith that God is the channel, that God is the course, that God is the operator of all things in creation. It's good for me. It's good for you as a believer in Christ to get hold of that wonderful statement of Paul. All is through God. Nothing happens by chance or by itself or by many other theories and speculations that men spew out of their infidelity. Paul, writing in Ephesians 1:11, declares, God is operating all things according to the counsel of his own will. Many marvelous things could be presented to confirm God's omnipotent power in the universe of creation. I'm going to suffice with two for our meditation this morning. I feel that it's worth our time to meditate a moment on. God created the heavens and the earth. He placed the sun, the moon, and the stars yonder in the atmosphere of the heavens. Set everything in its order. And he is operating. That's what I want to bring to your heart now. God is operating all of this. It's not operating by itself. God is operating. And we have the revelation of God's word and history to prove this thing for our hearts. We need it. In the day of Joshua, when Jehovah gave up and confused the great Amorite army before the sons of Israel and destroyed them in Gibeon, Joshua prayed and said in the sight of Israel, "Sun, in Gibeon, stand still, and moon, in the vale of Ajalon." And the sun was still, and the moon is standing, until a nation was avenged on their enemies. Is not this written in the book of the upright? And the sun is standing in the middle of the heavens, and hastens not to go down about a whole day. And there was no day like that before it or after it, when Jehovah hearkened unto the voice of a man, in that Jehovah himself fought for Israel. Joshua 10, 12 and 14. What does that mean to your mind, to your faith, to your understanding of things? You talk with scientists today, and of course they'll tell you that the sun is already standing still. Anyhow, we're not going to that. But here's something I want you to get clear in your mind. Professor Totten of the Yale University, after long research, proved that there was one long day at this period of the world's history when Joshua made this prayer and fought this battle at Gibeon. One long day. And Professor W. Maunder, F-R-A-S, of the Royal Observatory of Greenwich, England, after the most careful and scientific investigation, he proved that Joshua's day was 23 hours and 20 minutes long. 23 hours and 20 minutes long, the daylight part of it. Another witness has come to light. A clay cylinder has been recovered from the ruins of Babylon and records the long day of Joshua. You ask then, with the day lengthened, 23 hours and 20 minutes, what became of the other 40 minutes of that day? Did it just float around somewhere in space? Is it all allocute? No. The answer to this is found in Isaiah chapter 38, when Hezekiah was sick unto death, and he prayed and wept sorely before the Lord. The Lord saw his tears and heard his prayer, and promised to add 15 years more to his life. And as a sign from Jehovah that he would do this, Jehovah told Hezekiah, "Behold, I will cause the shadow on the step which has gone down on the dial of Ahaz with the sun to return backward 10 steps. So the sun returned 10 steps backward on the dial where it was gone down. Isaiah 38:1-8. What does this mean? The 10 steps of Ahaz's sundial represented 10 degrees, which was exactly 40 minutes. And so, what do you have? You add 40 minutes to Joshua's long day of 23 hours and 20 minutes, and you have the complete day of 24 hours, not a minute long. God is operating the universe. He created, He operates. And the scriptures recount many other similar divine operations that are as equally marvelous as this. That we could go on and on and on, showing how God is operating. I have taken the time to point out these two great events in the biblical and secular history to assure your heart and faith in Paul's declaration that all is through God, revealing that God is the channel, He is the source, He is the operator of all things in the universe of His creation. Third, last, Paul declares that all is for God, which explains that God is the object, the destination, the goal of all creation, that God will be all in all, everything in everyone. Romans 11:33-36 gives us the divine compendium or summary of universal history, affording the only heart-assuring and satisfying answer to the many perplexing questions concerning the origin and purpose and destiny of the universe, life, human experience, and aspiration. Recognizing God as God, that He is omnipotent, all-powerful, the creator, the channel, the goal of all things, we can discern that the universe is not a cold, barren waste created simply to afford material for human speculation, but formed to be the habitation of intelligent, love-endowed creatures, visible and invisible, terrestrial and celestial, created by God in accord with His purpose of the end, which He made in Christ Jesus our Lord, with the grand ultimate, our goal in view from the beginning, that He may be all in all. When every creature of His heart and hand is matured, perfected in His own image, reconciled in perfect peace and harmony, with full appreciation and loving response to His fatherly affection, love and grace, His blessing and honor and glory and might, then our hearts will respond with full appreciation to the glorious truth and reality of the greatness of our God as we have it expressed by the poet Tertullian. O Thou Eternal One, whose presence bright all space doth occupy, all motion guides, unchanged through time's all-devastating flight, Thou only God, there is no God beside. Being above all beings, mighty one, whom none can comprehend and none explore, filling all existence with Thyself alone, embracing all, supporting, ruling o'er, being whom we call God and know no more. From out of Thine infinite fullness Thou didst call the heavens and the earth into existence, and on Thee the aeons of time have their foundation. All spring forth from Thee, light, joy, and harmony. Sole origin, all life, all beauty Thine. Thy word created all, and doth create, descrying Thine glory and power divine. Thou art, and wert, and shalt be, glorious, great, life-giving, life-sustaining, only potentate. Accordingly then, our God is great in His creation. He is great in His operation. And He is great in His destination or consolation of all things, when He will become all in all, everything in everyone. Then we can repeat from our hearts with Paul, all the depths of the riches and of the wisdom and of the knowledge of God, how inscrutable are His judgments and untraceable His ways. For who knew the mind of the Lord? Or who became His advisor? Seeing that all is out of Him, all is through Him, all is for Him, that He may have the glory. Amen. Our God and Father, we thank Thee for this morning together, in which we could concentrate in our meditation on the greatness, Thy greatness, as revealed in Thy holy word. Bless it to our hearts, we pray. For thanksgiving, praise, honor, glory to Thee, raised unto Thee, to know that we have such a great and wonderful God. Keep us by Thy power, dismiss us in Thy love, with Thy joy and Thy peace, attending our way. And all thanks and praise be unto Thee, our God and Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God, O love of God, how sweet Thy name! How can I speak of Thee? Since words cannot express Thy grace, nor thoughts Thine any trace. Though evil cost Thy creatures much, to Thee the cost was more, when from above Thy Son of love was wounded, sick, and sore. He who knew no sin Himself, for love He suffered thus. For Thee was yielded up to die, for righteousness made sin for us. But when at last the end been, and Thou art all in all, with death above, sin is gone, Thou art victor o'er the fall. When Christ His loving trophies laid at God His Father's feet, with every enemy put down, Thy triumph is complete. Then shall Thy vindication come. Then shall Thy vindication come. Let me say it again. Then shall Thy vindication come. Why does God do this? Why does God allow this? Why does this happen? Why does this have to come? Oh, you hear it all the time. You hear it all the time. Then shall Thy vindication come. And every knee shall bow, and every tongue in harmony proclaim a God of love or God. We'll know and understand that. All will know. O love of God, O God of love, for surely Thou art one. Accept the need of heartfelt praise for Thy beloved Son. Our God and Father, we pray that we have expressed something of Thee in Thy greatness, in Thy goodness, and in Thy love, that will touch and invigorate our hearts, our spirits, and lead us from day to day to walk in Thy love with faith and faithfulness, knowing that Thou art with us.
The earth, its works therein shall be found. But we, according to His promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein righteousness dwells. where in righteousness dwells, a great new realm in which righteousness dwells. See that? There's where all of Abraham's justified.